So we're just going to read this, and we're going to go where the Lord wants us to. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9, it says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side, report, say they, and we will report it. I went to Oakdale, so you're just going to have to bear with me. I can't read words. Families watched for my halting, saying, pre-adventured, he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for such a good day you gave us. And Lord, I pray you can just take these words out of this word, and Lord, put them in my mouth, that I would say everything you'd have me to say. And Lord, shut me off when it is time for me to stop saying things. And Lord, I pray you can please just give me a power. And Lord, I pray you can please just give me the fire down deep in my bones, like it says here. Give me an excitement, Lord, just to stand and preach for you. Give me an excitement just to come and take part in your word and take part in church, Lord. And Lord, I pray you can please just bless this church, and Lord, help it to grow. Help it to grow spiritually. And Lord, use us tonight, Lord. Help us tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So we look here in verse 9, it says, actually, I want to go back to the end of that verse before I forget about it. It says, "Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten." God is not, I want to start this off with this, God is not the author of confusion tonight. God is not going to tell you something to make you think something and you're going to sit there confused the whole time. That is not God. God does not sit there and say, "Well, you need to do this," and then one second he tells you to do the opposite. Saying, no, that is the devil. That is the devil getting inside your mind. So if I can get one thing across to you tonight before we start anything, get a hold of your mind. Get a hold of your mind before you get a hold of anyone else, or before you get a hold of this word so you can understand it. So God is not the author of confusion. So we look here in verse 9, it says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him." So we look here, and Jeremiah is in this time right now. He's not going to make mention of God. So we think about this. How many times in our life we just got fed up with this world, we got fed up with whatever God is putting us through, maybe a trial that we are in our life right now, and we're struggling, and we don't know what to do, we don't know how to handle it, and we're saying, "I'm just done. I'm done with this life, I'm done with God, I'm done with this Bible, I'm done with the Word, I'm done with anything to do with church." How many of us has been there? We didn't even make mention of him. But we look on, it says, "Nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones." So when we think about this, this word right here was in Jeremiah's heart. It was in his heart. So the whole time he said, "I'm not going to speak anymore. I'm not going to make mention of God or Jesus or whatever. I'm not going to have any part of it anymore." His mouth wasn't moving, but his heart was yearning to speak for God. He had a fire down deep in his bones, down deep in his heart. His heart was the abundance of God's word. So we think about that. How many of our lives, how many of our hearts right here has a burning fire shut up in it? How many of us are on fire for God? My main thought tonight is, where is the fire? Where is the fire? Like we said back in the days ago, I remember them church services. I remember the church services where people were running the pews. I remember the church services where after the service was done, they got out in them buses and they got out in them cars and went out into this world. How many people say, "I remember," instead of saying, "Let's make it happen"? Instead of saying, "Where is the fire in my heart?" Instead of trying ourselves and saying, "Lord, give me a fire. Give me a fire that's down deep in my bones. Hold in. Lord, help me just to do thy will. Lord, help me just to read your word and give me understanding so I can have a fire in my bones. So I understand why I need to go out into this world. So I understand why I need to go out to that lost person and witness to them." We ought to have a fire tonight. We ought not come here bummed down, not expecting God to do anything. We ought come here with a fire. Where is my fire? Where is your fire? Many of us come to church and we have things on our mind that don't pertain to church. Many of us get off of work and we're still thinking about our job when we're here. Yes, we're supposed to work. We are called to work. Men are called to work. We are supposed to work with our hands and do everything we can for God at the same time. I believe when we work as hard as we can, as much as we can for God. And we use our mind to work. But as soon as that second's up, when you're not working anymore, your mind should go straight to, "What do I need to think for God? What does God have me to do? What does God want me to talk? Who does God want me to talk to?" Instead of, "I think I'm going to go to a movie tonight." Well, okay. If you're going to go to a movie tonight, let's have a fire about finding someone at that movie theater and asking them, "Do you know God? Are you saved? Do you know if you die right now and you're lost, you're going to go to hell?" Where is that fire to go out into this world and see people saved? Where is that fire when we come in these church houses and people are not on fire and we're just sitting here? Where is the fire? We come into a church house and it's just dead. It is deader than 4 o'clock and we don't know what to do. And not one of us will get up and praise his name because we're too concerned on what the person next to us will think. Where is the fire? We look on in verse 11. It says, "But the Lord is with me." Let's stop there. Let's stop right there for a second. Who is in here that's saved? Raise your hand. Everyone. Is God with you? Yes. So if God's with you, then why should we be afraid to go out into this world and have a fire and witness to someone? Why should we be afraid when it says right here, "But the Lord is with me as a mighty terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble." So right here, look at this. If we go out in this world and we have a fire about ourselves and people can see it. People can see it in our lives and we come up to them and they just look at us. What does that person have? I want that. And we just got a fire that we just going to go and we're going to go and we're not going to give up. We're just going to go until we can't go no more. And when we can't go no more, we're going to go until we can't go no more in our mind and pray and pray. Maybe we can't walk anymore. Pray. Maybe we can't use our hands anymore. Pray. Maybe we can't do that thing we done yesterday. Pray. We all can still do something. Whether we are 100 or whether we are 2, if you can't do anything, you still have a mind that can think. You still have a mouth and a mind that can pray to the one that created you. So where is the fire tonight? Where is the fire in the church houses? Where is the fire in the parents? Where is the fire in the children? Where is the fire in this world? Where? It's in that word. The fire comes from the word. If you don't have the word in your heart, you will not have a fire in your soul. It is plain and simple as that. So if you don't hide that word in your heart, and you don't know what that word says then how are you going to have a fire and a want to go out into this world and reach people? Where is the fire here? Where do we find ourselves in this day and time? Out there. So think about that. So if we don't find ourselves here, and we find ourselves out there, we won't have a fire. If we allow ourselves to think on the things of this world and the carnally minded thoughts, carnally minded is death. But spiritually minded is life and peace, Romans 8:6. So if we get our minds subjected to what this word says and we get our minds under control, first off, we have to get our minds under control so we can understand what God has to say to us in this word. First off, we got to pray. We got to pray and agonize and mourn with God before we can even open that word and be worthy to read it and understand it. We got to have our mind right, because if our mind's not right, we can maybe read something and take it a totally opposite way that God doesn't want us to. And we're thinking, I don't like that. I'm going to turn that around to where it doesn't hurt me as much. Where's our mind tonight? Where is the fire? Where is the zeal? Where is the fire and where is the zeal? It says, but the Lord is with me as a mighty terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble and they shall not prevail. They shall not prevail. So when we go out into this world and we have a fire about ourselves after reading this word and agonizing with God all night long and coming down to this altar and just coming and trying to get right and trying to do His will and serving Him, and we have a fire built up in ourselves and we have a zeal just to go and go and go for God, and all we do is run for God and witness to people, they shall not prevail. At the end of the day, when you die or they die, there's two places. If they're lost, they're going to go to hell. If you're saved, you're going to go to heaven. They that were trying to drag you away from God shall not prevail, because you're already His. You are already His. They have no way of taking you. No man can pluck you out of mine hand, as God says. So where is the fire? I tell you why the fire is not here. The fire is not here because of this. The fire is not here because of what is on this. What is on this phone. What is on the internet. What is on that Instagram. What is on that Snapchat. What is on that strip club down the road. What is in that bar? That is why we don't have a fire. We don't have a fire because we let the sin of this world take a hold of us. And we catch ourselves more in the sin of this world than in this word. It says, but His word was in mine heart. So we have to have this word in our heart tonight. If we don't have this word in our heart, we will not have a fire. This church will not have a fire if you guys don't have His word in your heart. This church will not grow spiritually if you're not seeking Him wholeheartedly and He doesn't see the abundance of your hearts following Him. So when you want to see a church grow, you want to see a church on fire, you want to see a church grow spiritually, you want to see the fire, you want to see the people have zeal about themselves to go out into this community, go out to that house over there, go out to that house over there and bring people in, you want to see this church have a fire, read. Seek Him. Seek Him more than you seek the things of this world. Seek what is in that word. Study out what is in that word. You may not understand it right then. Give it a day or two and pray about it with your whole heart. Give it a day or two and pray about it with your whole heart. So we look here In Isaiah 62:1, it says, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation therefore as a lamp that burneth." Don't give up. Don't give up. Have that fire. When someone comes up to you, they ought to see a fire down deep inside of you. When you go up to them, you better try every way in your might to witness to them. You better say, "Are you saved?" You better be concerned. You better have compassion on them people with that drink. You better have compassion on them people that have earrings hanging out their ears and out their nose and lips. Because, friend, just think if that was you and no one said anything about God to you and you died and went to hell. Where's the fire in our hearts to go out into this world, to go out into that church house, to go out into that family members over there and try to bring them into this house and try to get them to the Lord and seek God with your whole heart and agonize and pray to God to see this church grow and see them family members come in and just try to do what God has you to do with a fire. Where is our fire? Don't give up. Just because something comes along in your way and it makes it harder for you and it gives you an excuse, don't take that excuse and run with it. Say, "Satan, get thee behind me," and take that excuse you put in front of my face and get out of here. And say, "I got more plans for God to do. I got expectations that God is going to bring someone in this church house Sunday morning. They're going to get saved." How many of us think that tonight? Probably none of us, to be honest. Most of us come into church on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights, come in just to participate. Just to take part of church and say, "We've been here." And say, "Praise the Lord, it was a good service, now I'm going to go back home." Is that a fire? A fire is consuming. A fire is hot. A fire has smoke come off of it. It is noticeable. A fire, you can smell it. You can see it. You can hear it. Do we have a fire that people can see? Do we have a fire that people hear about other people talking about you? Do we have a fire that other people can smell and they pick up on it? How is your fire tonight? How is your fire in this church? How is your fire within yourself? How is your fire as a whole? Is it a bonfire or is it a little tiny flame? Sometimes I catch my fire being a flame and not a bonfire. Because if we're not careful, the devil can very easily take that fire away. That devil can very easily say, "I'm going to throw this right here. I'm going to throw that right there." And you're going to say, "Oh, I tripped and fell. That's it. I can't go no more. I lost a family member. I'm sick. I'm hurting. I don't know what to do." God does. "I don't know where to go." God does. He will guide you through the hard times. He will guide you through the uncertainties. He will guide you when you're sick. He will guide you when you're hurt. He will guide you in that next job. He will guide you when you need help. So when you think about things, think of it spiritually. And have a fire about yourself to where you're going to say, "I'm going to go as much as I can. I'm going to go as hard as I can. I'm not going to give up. I don't care what comes in front of me. I don't care what happens to me. I'm going to go. I'm going to try as hard as I can just to keep on pressing on and pressing on for God." Where is our fire? Where is the fire in the church? Like in the old days, as we say, "I remember." How about we stop saying "I remember" and start saying "it's going to happen"? How about we say, "I'm going to come in here Sunday morning with an expectation of someone praising the Lord for what happened to them the day before. I'm going to come in here with an expectation of someone walking in them doors that is lost and they're going to get saved on this altar. I'm going to have a fire in my life. How about you? Where is our fire? We look here in Luke 12 and verse 50. But I have a baptism to be baptized within, or with. And how am I straitened till it be accomplished? So we look here. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? It constricts us. We ought to have a fire that is bound to our soul that won't let us do anything until that fire goes out into this world and does everything it can. It won't let us go out into this world and say, I think I'm going to drink that alcohol and we're going to do it. There's going to be something inside of us that says, no, that's not right. No, you shouldn't go out to that bar. No, you shouldn't go with your girlfriend or whoever it may be and sleep with them before you're married. Sin is sin. Sin will take a fire away. Fire will lift you higher to God. So just think about it when you're about to commit this sin. Think about this church for you that are in here. I want to give you a challenge tonight. When you guys come to this church, think about the sin you've done. Think about that sin you've done Monday. Think about that sin you've done Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, Saturday. But also know this. If you ask for forgiveness, God will forgive you. But also know this. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you this. If you are grieving the Holy Spirit, how is the fire in this church? How is the fire in our souls? If you are grieving God, do you think you have a fire tonight? Do I think I have a fire? How is our fire? So we look here in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 21. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Look at that right there. Half of them held. Are you going to be the half that holds on? Are you going to be the half that still has a fire? Are you going to be that person that says, well, if they leave me, I'm still going to press on? Are you going to still hold that mantle for God? Are you still going to run towards God and say, I'm going to do everything I can, even though my best friend left me, even though my pastor or whoever it is doesn't agree with me, I'm going to take it and run with it because you told me to. I'm going to have a fire and a zeal to go to the world no matter whoever says no. If God tells you, you better do it. I think about this too. When we're out in this world and we're out doing what God wants us to or what we want to, let me ask you this. Do you want to hang around someone that is a Debbie Downer and someone that hurts your feelings and someone that is just down all the time? Or do you want to hang around someone that is uplifting and someone that makes you feel good, someone that makes you happy but corrects you when you're wrong? Does God want to use someone that brings people down or lifts someone up? Does God want to use someone with a fire or with no fire? Does God want to use someone with a zeal or no zeal? Does God want to use a church with zeal or no zeal? Does God want to use a church with fire or no fire? Where do we consider ourselves tonight? How do we consider ourselves? When we think about our homes, church starts with the person. Church starts with the home. So when we think about a fire, we think about an excitement. If we don't get on fire and don't get excited for God in our own home, with our spouse, with your kids, or whoever it may be you allow into your home, and they don't feel the presence of God, how do they expect to feel the presence of God in here? When it's not in your home, when it's not in my home, when it's not in me. So I challenge you tonight, when you go back home, think about someone that's lost. Think about that someone who needs help. Think about that kid that you just don't know if you asked them if they're saved and going to hell or heaven. Sorry, going to heaven. I challenge you tonight, go out into this world instead of going straight home. Maybe you guys go out and eat dinner at a restaurant tonight. I want to put this in your mind right now. Maybe you go out and eat dinner tonight, and the waiter comes up to you. There is your chance to witness. Now it is your choice to say, do you know God? Do they feel a fire off of you? Do they feel an excitement in your eyes or something inside of you waiting just to say, do you go to church? Do you know who Jesus is? Are you saved? Because if you're not, you're dying and going to hell. Do people see the fire? Do people see the zeal that you have? Are you excited to go out in this world? Are you bummed down that, well, someone got a hold of me. I'm just sick. I can't help it. And you completely forget about God and you're worried about yourself. I find myself there sometimes. And I'm a preacher. If you're truly honest, you find yourself there sometimes too. So we look here in Romans 10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. The whole reason we are here as a church, as a person, is to get people saved. Is to go out into this world witnessing and helping people and receiving them to God. The whole reason we are here is to do God's will. What is God's will? What did Jesus come here to do for us? Jesus came here to die on the cross for us so we would have a hope of heaven, a hope of salvation. So what do we have to do in this life? We have to extend that hope that Jesus came for us for. We have to go out into this world and witness and see people saved. Look at Paul. Look at that missionary. He went everywhere. He done God's will. Look at all the people that got saved under him. He almost died. And we come and sit down and we're comfortable. And we go right back home. Where are we at tonight? Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. Now let's take Israel out of this equation and put Roane County. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Roane County is that they might be saved. My heart's desire is to see people saved. This church's desire should be that people would come in and get saved. This church's desire should be to grow spiritually, to help as many people as you can, and look to God. And have a fire and have a zeal to go out on them Mondays, go out on them Wednesday nights, go out on that Sunday between church and try to reach people, try to bring them in and bring them into the church to get them saved, to get them help, to bring them back to God. That should be our excitement in this life. Not rock concerts, not whatever's on the TV, not whatever's on this phone. We should have a fire to go out into this world and do God's will instead of a fire to see the next rock concert or to go to the theaters or to go watch a mudsling or to go watch whatever your flesh likes to do. So we look in 1 Corinthians 9:22. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. How many of us, think about that for a second. Really think about that for a second, folks. If we have a love for lost souls, if we truly have a love for God, if we have a love to go out into this world and see someone and say, are you saved? And if they say, no, I'm not, bring them to this church. Bring them to somewhere that you know God will be preached. Come down to their level, but sin not. Right there it says, I became weak so I might see them saved. Are we allowing ourselves to come from here with our hearts and our mind and come to here to see the people that are down here get saved? Are we enough willing in our heart, and we have enough fire and have enough zeal to do whatever it takes to sell everything we got to go to Africa? Sell everything we got just to live lowly and see what God can do so we can reach the lowly people, so we can understand their state. How many of us have done that in our lifetime? What this world consists of is growing and growing and gaining in money, gaining in this worldly things and the world, what it has to hold. That is what a person seeks after, to grow in fame, to grow with wealth, to grow in this worldly stuff that will one day be burned up. When we should grow in God with a fire and with an excitement and with a zeal. And it doesn't matter if we have to go from here to here, because the only way we got to here is by God. So if God wants us to reach the lowly, we're going to have to make ourselves low. If God wants us to reach someone up here, we're going to have to go to their level. But at the same time, we don't got to hold our head high. We don't got to hold our head high and have a high-mindedly and prideful when we're up here. When we're up here, don't sin. Because remember, you're up here for a reason. When that reason's up, you go back down here into another valley. So church, I challenge you tonight. Go out into this world. Have a fire about yourself. Pray and ask God to give you a fire. Pray and ask God to give you a zeal. And I challenge you to get into this word and see this church grow more spiritually and have more of a fire than it does now. Where is the fire? Brother Revis, that's all I got.
If you appreciate that, would you say amen? Amen. Think about Matthew in chapter number 15 and verse number 18. He said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. And that's really what the message has been tonight. And there's not going to be a fire to keep going unless the fire of God's word is found in our hearts. And if it's there, then that's the spring that flows into all our lives. And I appreciate the message.